This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Houston, we do not have a problem.
Sarah Webb, Joy Drive's astrophysicist.
Good afternoon, Sarah Webb.
Good afternoon.
Now, Sarah, I was teasing this first topic that we're going to talk about being, you know, is there an upside down or I suppose something inside out, whatever we want to call it. But we've got scientists who've found a new system that sort of is being called the inside out. Tell us about this.
Yes. So scientists have discovered a solar system which is basically inside out or upside down or round and round, whatever you want to describe it as. It has a star at the center, which is always a good start for a solar system, but it has several planets and they're not in an order we would expect. So typically in a solar system similar to ours, you tend to see rocky planets really close to the star and then gas giants further out. And that's just kind of the way that it is. It's how they like to form. This one though, they've discovered this planetary system that has three big gas giants right near the star and then one rocky planet a little further away. And it's odd and confusing and very intriguing.
Does this suggest that our solar system might not be the standard model after all?
It could be. So this has been, that's a great question, because it's been a theory for a long time of, are we the standard or are we an exception? And the way that solar systems like to form is that gases tend to get blown away from the star as it's starting to form, and that's how we tend to get them condensing in the outskirts of the solar system, and we get big planets out there, and then the rocky material and the silicates are able to condense closer to the star, and that's why we get rocky planets nearby. But even though it might happen like that at the very beginning, often things will move around and shift and planets can change their position, and perhaps that's common, and maybe we got lucky that ours just didn't.
Ah, now, the question that we all want to know, could a rocky planet sitting further out from the sun, of that universe, that solar system, could that potentially host life?
It potentially could. So the exciting thing about this system is that the star that it orbits around is called an M-dwarf. So they're very tiny stars. They're not as bright as our sun, but they're a lot more active. They tend to flare a lot, which means being a planet nearby is not great for trying to form life. You're actively getting bombarded with solar radiation. And so having this rocky planet just a little further away might mean, even though it's probably, if there is any water, it would be frozen, but there could be subsurface oceans. There could be, it could be protected from radiation. There's all these theories of what it could potentially be. And so the answer is never no, but unfortunately it's not a solid yes, but it is an intriguing system.
But an alien life that is highly, you know, technical or developed could potentially harness those big flares of energy, am I right? And then, you know, store it. They might even have battery storage. We're trying to get it organized.
Potentially, in theory, there's an idea that even the basic flares at the beginning of it, of kind of like a sun or a star's life, were crucial for life here on the Earth. And so it's a really interesting theory, is maybe life only forms around those type of stars which do flare, and then hopefully we can harness that in the future. But it's one of those wider questions that we like to think about in astronomy quite a bit, is where would and where could life form?
That's amazing. There's always something interesting, isn't there?
Yeah.
The world of astrophysics.
Now, that always is.
Now, we've had some access to some of the most powerful telescopes on Earth through our partnership with the European Southern Observatory.
Yes.
But is that winding down, and why?
So the partnership, it is starting to wind down. It was a 10-year partnership. We've got until next year. But what has been amazing is the science that's come out of it. And I think it's a really good time for us to reflect on what that has enabled us to do. Some of the major science projects include trying to understand galaxies formation in what we call the Middle Ages of the universe. So basically trying to understand, how do we get galaxies like our own, where we've got lots of different, you can almost think of it as cycling of materials. We've got gas that's flowing in and out. We've got active black holes, but not too active. We've got things that make galaxies what they are. And there's a lot of questions where galaxy evolution sits, and Australian programs have been able to answer some of them. We've also had programs on there looking for one of the most mysterious things in the universe. It's called fast radio bursts. They are massive explosions of some type, and we know that they happen in distant galaxies, but we don't know what they are. But with this program, they were able to use VLT, the Very Large Telescope, a very apt name for this type of telescope, to look at the galaxies that they came from. Mm-hmm. So even though they can't figure out exactly what the explosion was, they can figure out the type of galaxies and the similarities that those galaxies had, which all feeds back into this amazing science. And so it is, I think it's important to reflect on science really is this global effort. Mm. It is something that we need to work together on and in use different facilities and have that exchange of knowledge, and really proud that we do that in astronomy so well.
Is that sort of unusual? I mean, we see, I suppose we're seeing, you know, in some ways, you know, the world is changing, and we're seeing a lot of people pulling back to their own countries in terms of, you know, their research and what they want to do. Is astronomy sort of bucking that trend? Is it continuing to work with other countries?
It is. I think astronomy has always kind of led the way in that trend of, you have to be collaborative with fellow scientists, collaborative with different countries and facilities. And I really hope that this is just the beginning for us, even though this current strategic partnership looks like it's winding down. Mm-hmm. There's definitely areas for us to continue this collaboration, whether it's with ESA, whether it's with other facilities, to ensure that we have this knowledge sharing and this ability to basically do world-class science on a world-class stage. And it's amazing because we hit high above our weight in Australia with astronomy. We tend to get incredible scientists coming from all over the world to be able to work with our different institutions. And it is a really, really lively and really beautiful ecosystem. And I hope I get to share a little bit of that every time I get to speak to the listeners of how awesome astronomy is, and all the things it teaches us, and all the things it makes us think about how we could do on the Earth better as well.
So inspiring as well.
I think sometimes it is nice to think that we're just on a rock floating through space, and there's so much to learn, and that's kind of humbling.
It is definitely. Now, Sarah, at the centre of our galaxies, it's what I understand is a supermassive black hole.
Yes.
Now, am I correct in saying that some scientists are now exploring an idea that it may not be a black hole at all? And if so, what is it?
That's right. So one mildly wacky but very fun idea is that, what happens if it's not a black hole? What happens if it's a giant clump of dark matter at the center of our galaxy? And there's a whole heap of reasons why we don't think that this is the case, but this is a very good thought experiment for trying to determine what dark matter is, because we don't know. We have all of these different theories, but we cannot pinpoint exactly what it is right now. So these scientists come up with this thought experiment to say, well, if dark matter behaved in a certain way, if it was a cold and an ultralight particle, could it mimic our black hole? And in some tests, it could, which is really exciting. So we don't think it is, but this is a good way for us trying to figure out, well, in other galaxies, in other regions of space, how could we determine potentially what is dark matter, what is black holes, and what does that tell us about the makeup of the universe?
So dark matter, we don't really know what it is as such, is that right? So
no.
Could it be that it is so dark that it also impersonates things like black holes?
That was a theory from a few decades ago. This idea of, we call them machos, massive interacting kind of halo objects, where it was just potentially they could just be rogue black holes everywhere. And it was this theory that kind of made sense. We knew that black holes existed. We were missing all of this mass. Why couldn't it be? But the more that we look into it, the more data that we collect on the universe, we don't see much evidence for it. So the idea that is the missing matter has become few and far between. But it is interesting because there's still so much for us to learn and for us to know. And it is very frustrating as a scientist, but equally as exciting, that there's so many things that we don't have answers to, and it just means we have to keep working harder and exploring more.
Sarah, if you had to put a number on it, and I know this is a difficult question, when do you think we'll understand what dark matter is?
I would hope in the next 10 to 20 years.
Oh,
so
wow.
there's Yeah, so there's a couple different experiments that are trying to detect dark matter, assuming that it's a special type of particle. There's a few different experiments assuming different types of particles, two of which are being built in Australia. And so one idea is that we will get these experiments up and running and we will either detect it or we won't detect it. And it's a win-win either way. We either detect it, fantastic, let's explore that more. We think we know what it is. If we don't detect it, not as fun, but it does mean that we can rule out that we think it's a certain type of weakly interacting particle. So I hope that in the next 10, 20 years, I'll be able to chat to you all and say, Eureka, we know what it is, and it's not dark anymore. We know what it is.
That'll be amazing. That's when I've got my alien co-host by then as well.
Oh, I hope so. I'd be disappointed if you didn't.
Sarah, love chatting with you. Always good. Thanks for joining us and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Sarah Webb from Swinburne University of Technology.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.